Are you willing to accept Christ's invitation to know Him more intimately, love Him more intensely, and follow Him more closely, and then go out into the world and live His good news? If you say yes, then you could be the 13th apostle. Join Dan Duddy and Tom Caffrey, the odd couple of Catholic radio, as they ride the radio waves two by two to share the goodness, beauty, and truth of Jesus Christ and His church. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the 13th apostle.
Retirement from work, especially a job, as opposed to, let's say, having your own business. So many of us, especially men, and of course it's traditionally men in terms of a job outside of the house, we identify ourselves with that job. You're in a group and you ask a man, you see a man, you're getting to know him, you're just being introduced. Oh yeah, what do you do? And so on one hand, that could be a little bit of a kind of incomplete as to who a person is, but in a practical sense, you're not saying, okay, well, who are you? Are you a child of God? Who are you? No, you're just going to say, this is what I do. And of course, if you go by Jesus said, you'll know them by their fruits. Okay. That might be their job or the work they do. So welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of the 13th Apostle, where we explore the good, beautiful, and true of the Catholic faith and the Catholic Church. This is Tom Caffrey with my partner, Dan Duddy. How you, Dan?
Hey, Tommy. How are you? Doing all right?
Hey. Retirement. I remember when my father retired, he was kind of forced out. He was a mid-level manager at the New Jersey Bell Telephone Company, you know, part of the famous and for some people infamous Bell system. Mm. He was there for 38 years. He went on vacation, and when he came back, his office was moved.
And there's a hint.
It wasn't moved to the parking lot, but it was moved. And then one thing led to another. The computers were just starting with the Bell system, and he went to classes for a couple of weeks. And I remember him pacing the backyard, look out the window. He's still in his business suit, and he's just walking the perimeter of the backyard, hand in his pockets. And he always had change in this one pocket, so he'd always jingle his change. And so one day I was leaving. I don't know whether I was 19, something like that. And I was leaving. It was in the early evening. It was summertime. It was beautiful out. And I was going down to some park area to meet some friends. And I told my father that. And as I walked past him, he was on the patio just sitting out there by himself. And he said, Tom, pray for me. Mm. And my father never said that.
Wow.
So it was like a mini earthquake. And then he said, it's nothing with my health. It's nothing with your mother and me. And I don't know whether he said a third thing, but that still affected me. And finally, I found out that he was wrestling with retirement. And then he did. And they moved to Southern New Jersey into a retirement community. And he was at peace for 4 years until he passed away, but he was at peace and enjoyed his 4 years of retirement. So he was 57 or 58 years old. Now, you're how old, Dan?
I'm 69.
69. Now, you retired from education, what was it, 5 years ago?
Yeah, five or six.
5 or 6 years ago. Mm. Okay, I'm just meeting you.
Okay.
Okay. Hey, Dan, what do you do?
First of all, you'd have to put both hands on my shoulders to stop me from walking in circles around you, because I was going absolutely nuts. I was, to answer that question in truth, I would say I retired from the school system, actually from Catholic schools. I'm in ministry. I do Catholic radio with my good buddy. Yeah, and I do a lot of speaking in our schools. That's what I would have said. But depending on how close the person was to me, maybe beyond being just an acquaintance, I would tell them that I was miserable. Like, miserable is too strong of a word, but I just wasn't happy. I was retired, and there was a time, a very brief time, I would say 6 months in the grand scheme of things, where I felt retired. I couldn't stand what was on my feet. Like, I'd wake up in the morning, and I never wore slippers in my life, and I had slippers on. You know, I had slippers on for, like, I don't know, every morning for about 6 months. And I'm just like, I don't recognize these feet anymore. I can't stand them. And I just started to really start to get moving and get back. I hit my knees. I prayed, as your dad asked for prayers from you. And I got a phone call from a school that I had been speaking at or for maybe the last 2 or 3 years. Sadly, a teacher was dying of cancer in the theology department. And they asked me if I would come in to finish out the second semester, the second half of the year. Man, you want to talk about direct prayer? Because I had just got on my knees the day before and said, "Lord, I'm not happy. Like, you got to put me to work. Like, what do you want me to do? I got to take these slippers off my feet." And bam, there I was, and there I am. Now it's 3 semesters later, and I'm going into semester 4 and 5 next year. And I've never been happier in the seat as a teacher. And I won't take up too much more of your time, but in the spirit of being candid and giving witness, I was never happy with my performance as a teacher. I was a teacher and a football coach previous to retiring. And I always knew in my heart, and when I got older and a little bit more courageous, I would say in my talks to faculty rooms, especially faculty meetings and presentations, that I became a teacher so I could coach football. And I really cheated a lot of kids. And I had said in my prayer, like, anything I could do, Lord, to redeem myself, please, in this late age, we're going to aging on this episode. And it was back in the seat. I got a chance to redeem myself. At least in my own mind, I needed to redeem myself as a teacher. And it's the greatest thing I've ever done. And I'm 69 and I'll be 70 next school year, back in the seat, teaching theology to incoming freshmen. And it's just a beautiful purpose.
Well, purpose, we've talked about that many times, and the missing purpose in so many, too many lives. Actually, one of my sisters, I have 4 sisters, and one of them just a couple of weeks ago retired. She wanted to, but didn't. This was earlier than she expected, and but she was having such miserable experiences at work, and she and her husband, she was able to retire. And I remember sending her a text her last day. So the last day was a Friday. And I texted her, it was like Friday evening. I said, "All right, Claire, when you wake up tomorrow morning, whenever that is, you're used to getting up around 4:30 or something like that. Just be prepared that you're going to stand up and you're going to realize, well, why did I get up? Because the alarm didn't go off. And then I don't want you to have an existential crisis and say, who am I? Because all this time of working." And I mean, there's nothing new about aging, obviously. But retirement in human history is fairly new from, I guess, a state. The idea of a state retirement began in Germany with the chancellor, actually the first chancellor of Germany, Otto von Bismarck. And he initiated a pension system for, first of all, it was forced retirement at age 70, but you get a pension. Now, so that was, I don't know, late 1800s, 1875, 1878, that period. The life expectancy wasn't very old, but if you made it to 70, if you were lucky enough, fortunate enough, whatever, to make it to age 70, the odds are, looking back, I mean, I know this looking back, but you would have lived another 9 years. So if you made it to 70, you would live another 9 years. That's what, obviously, when we look back at the records, we see that's what it would have been. So you would have collected a pension for nine, they would have collected a pension for 9 years. Ancient Rome, I mean, in the empire, they gave a pension to the retired military. I would love to know more about that. If you're in the military, we know some military guys and other people, I know law enforcement people, there's had such a strong identification. It's kind of like you with football,
No doubt.
strong identification with what they did. And like, I know police who retired and they were miserable and they would hang out at the police station with their buddies. Some military people, certainly combat veterans, who never felt more alive, probably because they were so close to death, the possibility of death, that they never felt so alive. The great contrast there. There's nothing greater than that when you're pretty sure you're on the razor's edge there. That's over. And you have all these skills, whatever your craft is. If you're a craftsman, like you're a football coach, that was your craft. And like you said, you were a football coach who happened to teach, in school, happened to be a public school teacher. So What do you do in, what do we do in retirement? What do you do after the children leave your care? You know, they said to my sister, who are you or who will you be?
Wow, that's I think that's so true and it's so powerful. And the audience that we're speaking to is not just our usual radio audience, but beyond that, the audience we're speaking of is now, I think, I'm looking at some statistics, 33.2 million Americans are 65 or older. That means today that's 1 in 8, whereas at the beginning of the 20th century, it was 1 in 25 people were 65 or older. So we are top heavy in our population as far as elderly people go, So a person who reaches 65 today can expect to live for 17 more years is or that's the new numbers. But many will live well beyond that. So to beat the identity thing, which was crucial, and it was for me personally, is to continue to give witness, Tom, with the things that you liked most or touched your heart and put you on fire, set you afire most about being a football coach. And that was motivating young people to do things that they didn't know that they could do if not for your input, for your influence. So people who are struggling with the identity factor, I think, need to take a look at the generosity issue that lies in just about every workplace, or at least that it should. And it's never too late to go back and identify what was generous about the work that they identified with, and then become that generous person again, whether it's by way of their craft, which might be impossible, but you can find another way to take that virtue that lives inside of that elderly man or woman and then flex your will and put it back out there. I listened to Jordan Peterson. He's doing some really good stuff, Tom. And I suggest it. I know you're a Jordan Peterson fan, and he's such a great communicator. And he's talking a lot about aging now. And he's got five habits for aging. One is movement. Two is to nourish your body, to be intentional about what's going in your body. Keeping in mind what's probably more important is what you're not putting in your body. Three is embrace rest and rhythm. And I'm just going to recapture this as soon as I'm done with number five. I just want to go back to it real quick. And four is to create your purpose. And five is to build meaningful relationships. Now, as Catholic Christians here on our radio show, movement, to be intentional about movement. We as Catholic Christians need to become intentional about movement in the spirit of generosity so that we affect, positively affect other people's lives. To nourish your body, not with what's wrong, but what's right, meaning put your mind on what's wrong and don't go near it. To me, that's the narrow path. That's following the narrow path to the narrow gate. And three, to embrace rest and rhythm. Tom, you cannot have rest in your life unless you know work. That's how you started the show, today's show. So we must be working. We must be struggling. We must be straining. We must be in some level of at something at the edge of our comfort zone in order to really realize and appreciate rest. That's hugely important for us. And we get that. We get that right from Genesis, from Adam and Eve. And to create your purpose obviously means things that we talk about all the time. And this is really part of my code or creed in my speaking is to find your charism, meaning the powers and talents that are conferred upon you by God, and put them to work in a purposeful manner. And number five, to build meaningful relationships as per Jordan Peterson. Tom, that says to me and you our very own relationship. To find people that are going to take you to Christ, fan the fires together, become two by two, but don't forget that you are responsible to the body of Christ as the body of Christ is responsible to us. So, yeah, I mean, number one, I think is most important. Keep moving. Really, keep moving. Put your head on a swivel. Get up and move. Move your soul. And that's me giving personal witness because I have a tendency to be a bit of a sloth at times and I become compromised. And I don't know which way is right and wrong. You become numb. You got to move. Otherwise, you'll become numb. And that's when we die.
Yeah, it's sometimes that list of five is sometimes it's like choosing your favorite child, right? You know, well, if I eat well, but I don't get any sleep, okay, there's one count or the other. Okay, well, it's good to get, okay, one out of two is good, but obviously we should be shooting for a holistic approach. That's you referred to Genesis. There's nothing more holistic than initial creation. So, everything was right. And I think it depends on what time of where you are in life at the time, what you're doing, just everything about your life at that particular time. And yeah, I think of all those, I'd be leaning toward number five as my number one.
Building meaningful relationships. Yeah.
Right, meaningful relationships. Thank you. That's for repeating that. And I love my own company, but I also love not at the exclusion of people. And I know that other people help to bring me toward, we never get to completion, but other people bring me closer to completion. Good people. And I, try to be very purposeful in that, in the people that I will open myself up to, so they know me better. And then they either intentionally or just the way it's like symbiotic relationship. Okay, well, there's just, it's like water finds its own level. So wherever I'm lacking, somebody else can help, fill that, and then help me to develop that area. And I learn about that other person. Okay, well, obviously the true friendship is not, what am I going to get from that? It's like marriage too, not what am I going to get? I know I'll get something, but what am I going to give? And if the other person is your true friend, well, that person's going to say the same thing. So it's total trust in the other person. And that could be a great friend. It could be a spiritual director. It could be a priest who's maybe an informal spiritual director. It could be coach, right? A good teacher. And I can think of at least two teachers that have had major impacts on my life. I can't, I'm not sure right now. I'm pressed hard to think of a coach that had a great impact on my life, a positive impact on my life, but definitely teachers. And so there's fulfillment in that too. And there's just joy. It's joy to get together. It's joy to share the bad and the good, because every life has both. And obviously in the Christian context, okay, the bad's a cross. Somebody, you got a friend, that friend's going to help. If you're willing to share that burden, like say, I'm struggling with this, I'm down on my knees, right? Yeah, I'm in prayer, but I'm down on my knees because this burden is pretty heavy. Okay, a friend comes along and starts to lift that beam, and you can keep going. Eventually we're going to go, we don't want to go the way, truly, we don't want to go the way Jesus went, but we know we're all going to end up in the same destiny. It's like my theology professor, my mentor, he's when he first thing he says, "What's your destiny?" And every student would say something, this or that, this and that. He'd say, "No, death. Death is your destiny." Which is for us where it really begins. And that's the rest of the story, to quote Paul Harvey.
It's crazy how creation permeates all. We're listening to Jordan Peterson, who really didn't talk much about Christ, but he talked about creation so deeply and profoundly without mentioning creation, because there you are, profoundly spiritual, Christ-like man. And I know that you walk your talk. You're talking about the spiritual ligaments of these five habits, and then how you took number five, because I do believe, and I wanted to actually talk about that a little bit more, that you stand on number five boldly. That's your badge. That's your badge of honor, number five. But you wouldn't accept it as honor. But you really do honor the world with your desire to build relationships. But you mentioned the other four so profoundly, I don't realize if you did, in your desire to be that relationship builder. Movement. Tom, you'll get in your car in a heartbeat to go see, our mutual friend George Fallon. More yours friend than mine, because you work it harder than me, quite frankly. You get in your car to go see him on a Sunday, you'll make sure you go to the phone and give him a call. That's movement, but it's in the spirit that comes from your badge of honor, from building relationships into two by two relationships. It nourishes you, number two, as per Jordan Peterson. You get your spiritual nourishment from your friendship, from the friendship of others. by pouring into them, and it comes back to you, but never for that reason. Embracing rest and rhythm. You are rhythmic. There's a rhythm in your contact and your communication with people. There's a rhythm. I know I'm going to hear from Tom. I can count on it. And four, it is your purpose, you know. So it's pretty cool. And you know, the other day when I called you at about 10:30 from Atlantic City Air, I didn't call you. I texted you back because I didn't want to hold you up another whole night about, you know, about our episode at 10:30. And I let you know the troubles I was having in the Atlantic City Airport parking lot. I had a flat tire, I had a dead battery, and my hood popped up. I couldn't close it all. One thing I'm saying, I should not tell him that because he will get in his car and he will come to Atlantic City Airport because that's my friend Tom Caffrey. And I was saying that out loud, I'm whispering it to my wife, Maura. Oh man, I shouldn't be telling this. He's going to come here, you know? But
But hold
that's
on,
you, huh?
you didn't name the airport, and
I
so
didn't.
it's a good thing I didn't get in my car and go because I would have gone to Newark Airport.
Oh my gosh. Wow. I just would have fired myself from being your friend, whether you like it or not, if you did that.
Listen, let me make a comment about that. I don't know if friendship and relationship have as far back as I can remember have always been important to me, but it's easy to say that ever since the divorce, that's when obviously I lost my best friend, in the context
I understand, yeah.
of intimate relationships.
Yeah.
And so I needed to build relationships. I'm not going to replace that relationship, but there still was a void. Whatever that void, whatever the reason for that void, there was a void, and I knew that I could fill that void. Is another way of saying emptiness.
Yeah, right,
And
exactly.
so to
Sure.
fill that part of my life, which was now empty, that's when I was most purposeful about that. So, I have to say, I was looking out for myself, but I did learn a lesson years ago. If you want a friend, be a friend.
Yeah.
And that's it.
You got to work at it. You really have to work at it. And coming off that a little bit, it might be a little bit of blindside, but you know, you're Tom, you can handle anything. I learned a little bit about Simeon and Anna in relationship today to aging and how us as becoming aged, I also learned about the three or four phases of aging. You and I are 65 to 74 in that age, right? So that's phase one in this one study. Actually, it came from Pope Francis. And the next is the next 10-year bracket. That would be 75 to 85, we'll say 80, and then 85 to 90. Sort of three phases. Gotcha. But how Simeon and Anna were given the grace of a late age by God the Father, all good things come from God, so that they could witness God come into their life physically in the body of Jesus Christ by way of the Holy Spirit. And if that doesn't give us hope as people who are aging, that we are not only never forgotten, but we are blessed and we will become even more blessed as we age, as long as we keep ourselves sharp and uncompromised.
One of the things I was thinking about, Danny, you and I have both done the spiritual exercises of Saint Ignatius. The one part I saw this in an article in America Magazine, the magazine of the Jesuits. They talked about spiritual planning. We do financial planning, and we should, and lots of times that's in some ways that can be the most difficult. Again, trying to take care of our health and a plan for a variety in a variety of ways, but it writes about spiritual planning. That's one area that we're, as a society, as a culture, we lack. And he emphasizes this, the author, he emphasizes the principles and foundation, that part. What is the principle and foundation of your life? Like you might say, and after reading from others and whatnot, organizing principle. So Ignatius wrote about the principle and foundation, and the author of this article is Miles Sheehan, Father Miles Sheehan. And what's the goal of our lives? Well,
Yeah.
we learn this in catechism as we're preparing for our confirmation and whatnot. It's to live with God forever, right? What? How do we respond to God when we know, when we learn that God is offering Himself to us? How do we respond to it? And we know whether our lives are long or short,
Yeah.
No, whether we're among the haves or the have-nots in terms of material, are we the haves in terms of health? Or are we the have-nots in terms of health? But it's like you look at things and you see it's like that. Thus spoke Zarathustra, and I don't remember. I think that was from 2001 Space Odyssey. But you know that poem was like, can you learn to see things as these things are true, these things are real, these things are imposters? And it's kind of like that poem "If" by Rudyard Kipling. If you can keep your head about you, and everybody is losing theirs, and what's your, how are you gonna, in your case and in mine, how are you? Can you call yourself, or can somebody say to you, "Yep, you're a man. You'll be a man, my son." You know, when you can be that way. And so, what is each of us has to know? What is our principle? What is the foundation of our life? How do we respond to God's offer? And we're not born knowing that. We need to learn that. We need help, and we need guidance learning that.
Let's make that our next episode. You got me pumped up over that. You
Great.
know?
Let's do it.
Yeah. We got a closing line here. I just want to say this: wait and move at the same time. Wait while moving. It sharpens the senses, and the Holy Spirit is precisely going to sharpen our senses for that. Just like a hunter sits in his deer stand, you know, all his senses are there, quiet and waiting. They get more and more sharpened, and we will become more sharpened with our senses, and we're going to see God.
And unlike in the experience in the Old Testament, we're not going to perish from seeing the face of God. So, you know, we've kind of alluded to the end of life. We'll get into another topic where we spend some time on that, but that's the fear. And do we spend our remaining years in fear of that, or are we focusing on, as you often say, where your feet are? What are you doing? What can you do, right? And whatever's going to happen is going to happen. You try to control yourself as much as possible. And on the other hand, you give up some control too. And that's very difficult for people. I would say perhaps more difficult for men than women.
Oh, no doubt. Pride and ego is your greatest enemy. Yeah,
You know, I
amen.
said that, I think the Deacon Chuck Kelly, I want to name drop, okay? And we're going to name drop one other. Let's go, Jim. Come on, Jim.
Absolutely. Come on, Jim. Stay
No,
tuned, folks, for the
no.
Angelus. What?
Let's go.
Oh, my,
Oh,
yes.
my gosh.
Let's go.
Okay.
Stay tuned, folks, for the Angelus and your prayer intentions with Peter and Jimmy.
You were in Margaritaville last week. So, all right, brother. We got to go. I'm glad I got the last line in.
Yeah, I'm so glad you did too.
All right. God bless you, buddy.
God bless you, Tommy. God bless you all.
Thank you for listening to The 13th Apostle with Dan Duddy and Tom Caffrey. For more information on Dan, visit his website at www.danduddy.com or email dcduddy@gmail.com. Tom's website is faithpilgrims.com or email trcaffrey@faithpilgrims.com. How about you? Will you be the 13th Apostle?